morning.
Good morning.
Am I live?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure I have hit the right switch. It's good to see y'all this morning. We begin our service today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my sins unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor miserable
sinner, confess unto you all my sins
and iniquities,
with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let the nations be quiet.
eternal God, in the word of your apostles and prophets, you have proclaimed to us your saving will. Grant us faith to believe your promises that we may receive eternal salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Reading for this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, beginning with verse 2. The people of Israel set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses was up to God, went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, and much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. St. Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to God.
cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over clean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without paying. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. In whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Been thinking about these words of Paul in his letter to the Romans dealing with Christ's sacrifice for us, his death on the cross, what price that came. We understand that we are sinners. I don't think anybody in here would deny that. Sometimes I think we might push it aside a little bit in terms of how bad sin is. We might think of it as being just a little thing. But God doesn't look at anything that we do when it comes to sin as just being a little thing. We can break the commandments, just one of them. Pick whichever one you think might be the smallest. Not sure which one that would be. But God says, then the whole law is broke. There's no such thing as just a little sin when it comes to God. Because of who God is. Because God is just and righteous and holy. And nothing that is sinful can stand in God's presence. Not and live. Not and live. Unless God makes it possible. Such as for Moses, who got to speak with God face to face, we might say. But even Moses really didn't look onto the face of God. God put him in a crevice so that when he passed by, Moses wouldn't see that presence. It would have been too much for him. We can think of Isaiah, who has a vision and is brought into the heavens before the throne of God. And his response was, I'm undone. I'm undone. In other words, I'm dead. Because I'm not holy. He even says it to God. I'm a man of unclean lips who dwells among a people of unclean lips. And what does God do? He makes it possible for Isaiah to stand there by cleansing him of sin with a hot coal that was brought down to him. And it was touched onto his tongue. So Isaiah becomes God's mouthpiece and proclaims the word of God and how God wants us to be. Because the people weren't always acting justly, and God is above all a just God. A just God. But he's also a God of great love, for he is love, is what John says. God is love. And when we take that part in, that God is love, and put that with God is just, some people may think to themselves, well, God will just look beyond our sins. He will just look past that. But then would he be a just God? If God did not punish sin, would he be just? And is that what we would want? A God who really isn't just at all? But God is just. He told Adam and Eve that on the day they took, if they took from that fruit of that tree, they would die. And they did actually die at that moment. They were the walking dead, you might say. Someone who might be alive, but is truly walking to their execution. I think that's what they call those people who are on death row when they are led to be executed, the walking dead. It ain't happened yet, but it has, because a decree has been made. But when it comes to God's decrees, God doesn't go back on any of his promises. He decreed death would come, and death did enter the world. And because of their death, we all die. Because of their sin, we all sin. That separates us from God. It's not that God wants us to be separate, but His holiness, His glory cannot be with sin. So God condemns the sinner. But he also provides for us forgiveness. God chooses how he wants to forgive, how he carries it out, how he brings that about. It is God's choice, not ours. Our choice is to try and be good, to do all that we can so that we might perhaps earn God's favor. But we know that doesn't work. St. Paul knew that did not work. After all, he was one of the sons of promise. He was Jewish. More than that, he was a teacher of the law. He calls himself a Pharisee, that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was up and coming. He was a shooting star. But he would look at all of that he earned as being garbage next to knowing Christ Jesus and the salvation we have through him. God had to fulfill the death sentence. But he loves us in spite of our sinfulness. He loves us even though we are sinners. And at the right time, St. Paul says, when we were weak, Christ Jesus died for us. It is so that you and I can stand in the presence of God. It is so that you and I have direct access because we can go directly to Jesus. We can call on the Father. And we can ask of him anything, Jesus said. And so we do. Because we know that we are forgiven because of what God has accomplished for us. It is his doing. He is the most just of all. Instead of pouring his wrath out on us, he pours it on his Son. His wrath. All of that which we deserve. Because we are all sinners, but he never sinned. He never faltered. He was tempted, but he never faltered. And God always took care of his Son. At those times in Jesus' state of humility that he felt anguish, God would send angels to minister to him, such as in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he felt that deep anguish that he was even sweating drops of blood. God sends comfort to his Son. His Son knew what he had to do, and he went there willingly to that cross. He wasn't ashamed to go there, even though it was a sign of curse to hang on a tree. The worst thing that could happen to someone who is Jewish. Because of Scripture itself, God says that cursed is the man who is hung on a tree. And that's what Jesus does for us. That tree becomes cursed, for it carried with our Lord our sins. Every one of them. Every one of them. The nature itself, original sin, went on that cross. Actual sins that we commit went on that cross. Because God loves us, a people who are sinners. He loves us. Now, St. Paul points out, before the law came, sin was in the world. It's hard to break a law if you don't have a law written in front of you, but nevertheless, the signs were there. The law came to only, we are reminded, show us our sinfulness. We have God's laws, and we can look at them, and we can say, yep, I ain't kept that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. And if we try to wiggle out of one of them, Jesus comes back and said, no, there's more to it than just the letter of the law. There's more to it. For a person to break adultery than just physically becoming an adulterer. Just the heart, he says. There's more to breaking the sixth commandment, the fifth commandment. Thou shalt not murder. There's more to that than physically killing someone. There's hatred for your brother, Jesus says. So really, we can't wiggle out of anything when it comes to the Ten Commandments. We are guilty of every single one of those. And if we somehow manage to not sin in one particular way, like I said, it doesn't matter. You can take a balloon and blow it up, stick a pin in it, just a small pin. Doesn't matter where it goes, that whole balloon's going to blow up, not just a little part of it. It might be little in our thinking, but it's a big deal, so big of a deal that Jesus came into this world to be our substitute, to be our propitiation, to be our Redeemer. And that is truly what he has done. He has redeemed the world through his Son. And we receive that by faith. It is in believing this promise that God has made to us that we have this righteousness, not because of what we have done, but because we are not doubting what God has done for us, and we are trusting in him and his promises. That's faith. It's not a complicated thing, faith. It clings to that which we know is our salvation. It is clinging to Christ. It is clinging to the cross. It is clinging to an empty tomb. It is looking ahead to our inheritance in heaven. This world is crazy. People are at odds with each other all the time. And none of that's new. But what is new is our access to God. What is new is our ability to go to him with our sins, confess those sins, and receive forgiveness. That is new. That is new in this world. It's always new because it's God's kingdom I'm speaking about. God's kingdom is right here, right now, in this place. Why? Because here we have gathered, and God has promised to make his presence among us. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. So yes, the kingdom of God is here, just as Jesus declared when he was going through Jerusalem, and as he told his disciples to declare when they went through Jerusalem. The kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said it a number of times. The kingdom of God is near. the kingdom of God is near because Jesus was here. And he's still here. Why is this part of the kingdom of God right now in this place? Because of the word of God proclaimed, the gospel. Because here we receive God's food for our faith to sustain us and make us strong. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. Amen.
Sufferings and death. He has redeemed us sinners from our sins by
by his resurrection, has released us from the fear of death. Help us to live as your own people, doing the good works for which we were created, and praying with confidence the petitions and supplications of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Sure.
We want to wish
no reason not to.
We want to wish a happy birthday.
Dirksen on June the 20th is 87.
I thought he was 21.
Can you imagine what that birthday cake is going to look like?
Happy birthday.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday. And a happy anniversary to Keith and Christy Gonzalez on June the 15th. Please take a notice that the Lutheran Women's Missionary League grant number 11 for the Lutheran Braille workers, $100,000. Wow.
They do a lot of good work.
Yeah, they must.
And it's expensive to produce.
Yeah, I imagine you have to sit there and poke all the little dots and stuff like that. Okay, is there any other announcements from the congregation? Nothing from Peggy?
Watch it. Oh, I'm sorry. Peggy has an announcement.
Well, I'm hoping she does.
So, I'll let you know, and anybody who's interested, we're meeting at Caroline's house on Saturday. The official time of the start of the virtual convention is 9:20. I would think we need to mill in there about 9 minutes so we can get ourselves organized and get ready to sing and enjoy a day together. We'll end up about 3:30 or appreciative of Caroline making taco salad, and we're bringing dessert, and Caroline were talking, but we're going to have good food. Yes, we are. We're going to eat.
Wherever two Lutherans are together.
Yeah. Anyway, Ray is excited that his second book is out. I have one copy here, and we'll be glad to bring a signed copy next week. I'll bring some more copies. They're $10 each. This book is poetry. As you may know, Ray has a poet heart, and he just can't help himself. But he has poems that remind him of the early days and looking out in the yard, his family. I think the one in there about Dylan and the organ, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Let me know if you'd like an autographed copy.
You can arrange that, right?
Yes, I can.
Okay, if there's no other announcements, let's close with God We Know Thy Redeemer.